Welcome back to the Scored Sports Podcast. I'm the host of this podcast, Lane Frank. We're now on episode 160. It's 160 episodes through, and I got an action-packed episode planned for you. It's March! March Madness kicking off this week, everybody. Got conference tournaments, March Madness, NCAA tournament, the best month of the sports calendar. Love to see it. NFL Combine, just wrap that up. And we'll be opening day. Also, this month, a bunch to go over in the NBA. Stay tuned for an action-packed episode 160. Let's hop into it. Let's start off episode 160, how we always do, with the headlines in the NBA. First thing I want to talk about in the NBA right here, I'll put out a post on the Scored Sports Instagram. Go follow, at Scored Sports, making daily posts over there. I said the Boston Celtics and the Los Angeles Clippers, the two best teams in the NBA right now. Let me give you my reasoning for that. And I truly believe that statement right there. The Boston Celtics are on a tear right now. This is one of the best seasons we've seen since the 73-9 Warriors. They're great. They've been unstoppable to start the year, the Boston Celtics, and when we haven't really seen a team be this dominant since pre-pandemic. It's really exciting to see from the Boston Celtics how great they've been the regular season, and I truly do believe after that 52-point win over the Golden State Warriors that they are one of the best teams in the NBA, if not the best. Top two. Los Angeles Clippers, same thing, because they can take you full 94 feet with their three superstars that are all healthy at the moment. You're not going to beat a healthy James Harden, healthy Paul George, and healthy Kawhi Leonard in the playoffs with the bench that they also have. It's a great team. And you mix in those three superstars, they're elite. You can remove those three superstars from that team. Still think, with Tyronn Lue, their coach, that bench, the rest of those guys in that squad, they're still in the play-in. No doubt about it. So I'm really excited to watch this matchup unfold. I think these are the two best teams in the NBA. Excited to watch it in the NBA Finals. Still my prediction, Clippers and Celtics. Just wanted to throw that out there right now. From what I've seen, the way the Clippers have played defense, the way the Celtics have played defense, and the way they can play offense. Most importantly, though, the way they've played defense, the way they've stayed consistent and healthy, that's the biggest part of winning an NBA championship. This is why these two teams are the best two title contenders in the NBA right now. Another thing in the NBA, LeBron James, let's give it up for him. 40,000 career points in a loss to Denver Nuggets. Not gonna lie, I don't watch many Lakers games. They're on late, they're different, it's the Lakers. But I did watch that game, and what I saw from the Lakers in that game is LeBron gets 40,000, great. They're on a tear to start that game. Things start to collapse. I'm watching that game. They're winning. I turn off for 10 minutes and they're losing. Nikola Jokic, give it to him. Great player. There's a psychological block in the Lakers' brain right now that they can't beat the Denver Nuggets. They just can't do it. They can't beat the Denver Nuggets and they can't hold on to these big leads. Yes, they were crushing the one seed Oklahoma City Thunder the other night, but the Denver Nuggets are a better team than Oklahoma City Thunder. Yes, regular season-wise, sure, Thunder can be better. Get the playoffs time. Nuggets can sweep that Thunder team. For the Lakers, when you want to get back to that finals, you're going to have to go through a team like Denver. You can't have these collapses, which I see. Maybe it's the rotation, Starvin Ham story out there. LeBron James taking a break in the middle of the first quarter. I don't love to see it. I like to see him play the full first quarter. There's enough breaks within the first quarter to he can play the full first quarter, take a little bit of rest in the second, come back for that third, get fully ready for that fourth quarter. I don't see that with the Lakers right now. A little bit struggling to get over that right there. LeBron James, though, 40,000 points. What a career it's been for him. Is this going to be LeBron James' last season in the NBA? I hope not, but is it going to be? Leave it also that in the comments. Top of the headlines in the NBA. Now, NFL, we got a lot to go over. Just wrapped up the NFL scouting combine. Xavier Worthy broke the 40-yard dash record with a 4-2-1 40-yard dash. Joe Milton throws an 80-yard pass, 62 miles an hour. I got a lot to talk about the combine. We'll do that and take the week. But other stuff going on in the NFL. The new league year about to start up. We got franchise tags, free agency, all ramping up. Franchise tags, Mike Evans didn't get the franchise tag. Got that two-year extension. Going to finish his career as a Buck, it's looking like. Baker Mayfield didn't get that franchise tag. They gave it over to Antoine Winfield. A little bit surprised by that right there. But I think they're going to keep Baker Mayfield in the long run. Give him a very, very comforting deal. Good to see that right there. Bring back that core. Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, it's going to be a great thing to do with right there. And also, the main thing for Mike Evans was he didn't want to play with a rookie quarterback. If they lose Baker Mayfield, he's going to be playing with a rookie quarterback, just so everybody knows right there. My take right there on the Baker Mayfield franchise tag situation. Jamal Adams, a guy who has had the biggest fall from grace of all time. I remember when he got traded from the Jets to the Seahawks, after that first season, I made a whole entire segment about how it's a bad trade for the Seahawks, and it always will be a bad trade for the Seahawks. Look at this now. You're releasing Jamal Adams midway into that massive contract that he has. Really disappointing right there, in my opinion, for a career that Jamal Adams has had. From being top of the game in 2019 and 2020 to absolutely falling off the rails, getting injured first game last season, being healthy scratches. this season. Really tough to see, though, from the Seattle franchise. I like the move, though, by Seattle, making bold moves already, cutting Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs as well. Russell Wilson, another guy left in that Seahawks dynasty, cut by Denver Broncos. A little bit shocking right here. Got more stuff to talk about with NFL quarterbacks later on this episode. But Russell Wilson, a guy who's had a max contract in his career twice now, one with Seattle, one with Denver, out. Biggest cap hit of all time in NFL history. Before that, it was Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers, which combined to $84 million. This one is $85 million by itself. Denver's taking the big hit. I like it. Risky move, but I like it. You cannot sit another year behind Russell Wilson in Denver. My eyes cannot take another Broncos country. Let's ride. I can't deal with any more Russell Wilson in Denver. I'm not going to have to. Exciting stuff right there. Big move by Denver. Where will Russell Wilson sign? Leave your thoughts on that in the comments. Kirk Cousins, still in limbo with him right there. We had his agent on a few years ago, Mike McCartney. Might have to get him back on here soon. But Kirk Cousins might be gone from the Minnesota Vikings. I remember the whole saga that he had when he was leaving Washington to go over to Minnesota, that whole free agency sweepstakes. This one won't be as big of a sweepstakes for Kirk Cousins, but he's still a very, very talented quarterback. I could even argue he's a better quarterback now than he was in 2018 when he left Washington to go over to Minnesota. Not the craziest take right there. Leave your thoughts on that in the comments. It's about for the headlines in the NFL and the MLB to wrap this up. We got Paul Skeens' number one overall pick. Was rumored to be called up last year to the MLB. Didn't make it. And this year will start out in the minors. Good move right there. Paul Skeens still need a little bit more time to develop number one pick at LSU. All of them. Justin Verlander will start the year on the IL for the Houston Astros. Interesting for me as a Mets fan. The thing is, if Justin Verlander pitches 140 innings this year for the Astros, the Mets have to pick up that $17 million contract, which would greatly impact their offseason plans for next season. Maybe won't get them Juan Soto, a few other guys. But if he doesn't pitch 140 innings, they're golden. So Justin Verlander being on the 15-day IL, a little bit tough for Astros fans. As a Mets fan, pretty glad to see it. It's part of the headlines in sports. Leave your thoughts and comments. Now, take of the week. This week's take of the week is the NFL Combine means nothing to me. Nothing. I don't care about the NFL Combine. I watch it. It's so much fun to watch because it's fun to see how these guys do. But in actual grand scheme of drafting things, I don't care at all. I don't want to curse in the show, but I would if I could. Absolutely means nothing to me. This NFL Combine, that's how passionate I am to how these guys perform in the NFL Combine, doesn't mean much to me. I want to see how they perform in the podium. That's great right there. I sound like an NFL GM saying that. It is interesting to see how their answers are. Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't show up to his press conference. That means something to me right there. Caleb Williams doesn't throw, but shows up to his press conference. That's good for me right there. Answered all the right questions all the right way. I remember Kyler Murray. They said he answered the worst possible ways in every single question. The worst the players ever answered a question. Also, it can be some bad things. Maybe Jeff Okuda, he answered great questions. Look where he is now. Certified bust. But you look at these drills. 40-yard dash. Xavier Worthy. Whew, he's going to be a superstar in the NFL. That's my opinion. That's not off me saying, wow, what a great 40-yard dash he had. You could have asked me before Saturday. I would have said Xavier Worthy's going to have a great NFL career because I know the type of player he is. I know how underutilized he was at Texas. But still, look at some other stuff in the NFL scouting combine. I remember telling my brother before the year, Joe Milton, who everybody loves, is going to have a bad year at Tennessee, which everybody thought Joe Milton could be a Heisman candidate. Well, he had a lackluster year. I've seen Joe Milton play quarterback at Michigan. I've seen it. He's been terrible. And then after the bad year at Tennessee, I told him the same thing. I said, Joe Milton is going to dominate the NFL Combine because it's built for a guy to throw on shorts and a t-shirt 80 yards. Put him in full pads, put him against 11 guys on the defense. He's not throwing the ball 80 yards. He's throwing a 40-yard interception. And he's throwing at 60 miles an hour on a slant route for no reason at all. Awesome. Joe Milton can throw the ball 62 miles an hour. Does that mean anything to me? No. Do I really want to catch a slant pass 62 miles an hour if I'm a rookie wide receiver, if I'm a second-year wide receiver, if I'm any wide receiver, any tight end? Nobody needs to do that. I remember Joe Milton at Michigan. I still am scarred by Joe Milton at Michigan, and I thank him for leaving Michigan because now we have a national championship. This is a bit of a Joe Milton rant, but it's also a combine rant. The combine is set up for guys like Joe Milton to succeed, but the combine is also set for somebody like Tom Brady to absolutely fail with a 5.27 40-yard dash. That's just how the combine works. So for the 40-yard dash, I'm going to give you all the top times of all time in the 40-yard dash. You tell me how many great players you see on here. You tell me how many Hall of Famers. One, Xavier Worthy, 4.21 40-yard dash. We don't know yet. I think he's going to be a superstar. I could have said that before the 40-yard dash. Second guy, John Ross, retired. Third guy, Caleb Barnes at 4.23 40. Haven't heard a single thing about this guy in the NFL since then. Chris Johnson, bit of a lackluster NFL career, 424. DJ Turner, my Michigan guy, 426, 40, but had a bad rookie season, in my opinion. Dree Archer, do you know who Dree Archer is? I know him as the Kent State running back, who ran a 426. And lastly, Henry Ruggs at a 427. We all know the answer to that one. So here's my question right here. Do you really care about the combine? Because I don't care about how these guys do with the combine. It's entertaining. It's fun. Don't overevaluate it. That's my main tip right there. That's my take of the week. Now, top five. This week's top five is the top five best things about the best month, March Madness, everybody. What are the five best things about March Madness? Let's hop into it. Number five, the conference tournaments. I love watching conference tournaments. They're great. I remember going to the 2018 Big Ten Conference Tournament in Madison Square Garden. It was great getting to see Michigan play on Thursday, win that game, play on Friday, win that game, play on Saturday, win that game, and Sunday, win that whole entire tournament. Getting to watch your team play 3 days in a row, 4 days in a row. It's elite basketball. It gives back AAU vibes, high school vibes. When are you ever playing back-to-back in college? Never. When are you ever playing a back-to-back-to-back-to-back? Maybe even back-to-back-to-back-to-back. Really interesting stuff right there in college basketball. I love conference tournaments. Another great thing about conference tournaments is, say you're the worst team in college basketball. You're 0-30. You get the number 10 seed in your conference tournament, whatever it might be, the last seed. You win that day. You win the next day. You win the next day. You win the next day. And then you win the championship. You're in the NCAA tournament. You win those games, you're a national champion. Saw a thing. Michigan basketball can win every game for the rest of the year, win the Big Ten tournament, win the national championship, and still finish the losing record. The beauty of college basketball, the beauty of conference tournaments. That's number five. Number four, superstars breaking out, everybody. Getting these great heroes of college basketball that we see in March Madness. Let's go with Doug Eddard from St. Peter's a few years ago. That guy was on fire, everybody. Dante DiVincenzo, where his name finally broke out in March Madness, crushing fourth grade. Me, that was really tough right there. 10-year-old me seeing Dante DiVincenzo drop 18 points in the first half of that national title game. As a Michigan fan, that was horrible. As a Knicks fan, love to see Dante DiVincenzo balling out. But this is where superstars make their name. Chris Chioza, three-pointer buzzer beater. Great guys, great names. Trey Burke, I know he didn't make his name in March Madness. He made it before winning Naismith Player of the Year, but still had a great time in March Madness. It's where you find out about some guys, find some superstars, diamonds in the rough from some of these schools. You get that great guard from whatever school it might be. That's number four, superstars breaking out. Number three, the Final Four. Now, the Final Four, people might already be done with March Madness at this point. You know, you're into baseball season by now. Your team's already out of the bracket. Your bracket's already busted. But still, it's a great event every year. Final Four, some madness last year in the Final Four. San Diego State gets that buzzer beater over Florida Atlantic. And they get the national title game of UConn versus San Diego State. Final Four, always a great event. Number three, Final Four. Number two, you get games all day Thursday and Friday, Saturday and Sunday. It's awesome to watch. I'm usually on spring break when games are on Thursday and Friday. This year, I won't be, but I'll still give you guys that content on Squared Sports. Try to watch all those games. Get those games all day where you can watch the 8 seed play the 9 seed, and then you can also watch the 1 seed play the 16 seed. Maybe you get that upset. Maybe you get those great games. Check in your bracket wherever you are. Maybe you're at work. Maybe you're at school. Games all day. Great stuff. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's number two. And number one, the upsets that come with college basketball. Greatest upset of all time is still UMBC over Virginia. What has happened to Virginia? My favorite quote from that game. Virginia was a great team that year, and they lost in the first round. First one seed ever to lose to a 16 seed. Like some other great upsets over the years. Maybe St. Peter's over Kentucky, and their run to the Elite Eight, taking down Kentucky, taking down Purdue, losing North Carolina. Still a great run that they had right there. Oral Roberts taking down Ohio State, taking down Florida, losing to Arkansas. Florida Gulf Coast, great run they had, taking down Georgetown, making their way to the Sweet 16. Middle Tennessee in 2016, taking down number 2 seed Michigan State. Princeton last year, making it to the Sweet 16. We love to see it. College basketball upsets are great. That's the best five things, top five things about March Madness. Leave your favorite things about March Madness in the comments. Now, did you know, this week's Didn't Know is, did you know Nolan Ryan, arguably the greatest baseball pitcher of all time, threw 7 no-hitters in his career, but won 0 Cy Young Awards for Best Pitcher of the Year, while Roger Clemens threw 0 no-hitters in his career, but won 7 Cy Youngs? Kind of crazy. Did you know that? Leave it down in the comments. Back for Didn't Know this week. Now, my spotlight this week is on the Purdue Boilermakers. A great team in college basketball, year in, year out. Matt Painter has built up an undeniably great program out there in Indiana. But they've done nothing in the month of March outside of winning the Big Ten tournament. Woo, big thing. You win the Big Ten tournament. What does that show for you? Maybe get that banner. They want a national title now, Matt Painter. They want a national title. Is this the year Purdue gets that national title? Let's break down the history they've had in the past few years of March Madness. Let's bring it all the way back, 2019. Carson Edwards is one Mama Diakite shot away from leading his team to the Final Four. Virginia was one shot away from missing and not winning national championship that year. And Purdue gets set to the Final Four. I still remember the Ty Jerome to Diakite pass that got them to that Final Four game. Got them to overtime, won that game in overtime. But Carson Edwards and that team were great. They just couldn't make the Final Four, couldn't get that job done. Something Matt Painter has still not done to this day is make the Final Four. 2020 season gets canceled. Spring over 2021. That year, they lose in the first round as a 4-seed, 13-seed North Texas. Okay? Bit of a rebuilding year. The next year, you're the one of the best teams in the country. I thought this team could have won the national championship easily. You have Jaden Ivey, who is a superstar in college basketball. You've got Travion Williams, superstar in college basketball. You got Zach Edey, superstar in college basketball. This team has the blueprint to win a national championship. Mason Gillis, who's still on the team to this day. They lose in the Sweet 16 at St. Peter's. Okay, Matt Painter, that's a really bad loss here right there. Maybe it's just one time, though. Maybe it's only one time you lose to a really low seed. Oh, wait. Happened the year before, North Texas. It actually happens the next year to Fairleigh Dickinson. Last year, Purdue, number two team in the country, and they lose to Fairleigh Dickinson as a one seed, the second one seed of all time to lose to a 16 seed. Embarrassing. When you see this team on paper, you're thinking, okay, they got the 7'3" center. There is no chance any of these mid-major teams are going to be able to compete with them because of the center. Now, maybe some other good teams can compete with them, not these mid-majors. It seems like the mid-majors have been the ones to figure out Purdue. There's a blueprint out there to how to take down the Purdue Boilermakers. It's going to be the same thing this year. Say what you want. Say, oh, they have better guard play now. They're going to do better in March. I disagree. Yes, they have good guard play. They still love to feed Zach Edey. That's all they love to do. And when the going gets tough, they don't feed Zach Edey, and it gets tough. He gets in foul trouble. The game doesn't go well for them. I've seen that too many times. They've had a great regular season, but they have some bad losses. I look at the Nebraska loss. Nebraska's a really good team, but it's a loss to Nebraska. I look at the Ohio State loss. That's a horrible loss on the road, especially for Zach Edey and his team. If he wants to be a leader, win the national championship, he's going to be the second player ever to win back-to-back National Players of the Year. First player to do it since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Great for him. Doesn't show anything in winning a national championship for me. I'm worried about this team right here. I don't think they're going to do well in March Madness again. I wouldn't recommend picking them in your bracket. Zach Edey's a great player in college basketball at times. 95% of the time. The only time he isn't, the only month he's not on fire is in March. It's preferably after March 15th when the Big Ten tournament is done and those real NCAA tournament games start going. That's when this team starts to fail. I see it again this year. Don't pick Purdue in your bracket. From what I've seen from Purdue is that they've made no changes from last year, from 2022, from 2021, back to the Carson Edwards era in 2019. And one more thing. Back in 2018, Purdue had two great big men, similar to Zach Edey. Same result. So Matt Painter, maybe it's on you. Maybe it's on some other things. But Purdue basketball is not meant for March, and they aren't this year. That's my spotlight for the week. Leave your thoughts and comments. Now, what lane would I take? Franchise quarterbacks edition. So back in the NFL a few years ago, 2018, let's bring it back to there. Kirk Cousins signs the biggest deal in NFL history. Crazy to think about, but he signed the biggest deal in NFL history, and every starting quarterback that got a deal from then on became the highest paid quarterback, highest paid player in NFL history. Until now, it's become a serious and real issue. Let's swing it over to the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona Cardinals, Kyler Murray, they gave him a massive deal, and they're going to stick it out with that massive deal. But if they got the number one pick this year, which they don't have, and they had the option to select Caleb Williams, I would have been curious to see what they would have done. Because would they have taken the route of the Denver Broncos and had to cut that massive contract in Kyler Murray and maybe take that guy in Caleb Williams? Or have they just stuck it out with Kyler Murray, knowing that a better quarterback was available for the taking? That's my main point right here. You're going to have to give the serviceable guy the massive deal and Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is a serviceable quarterback, but in my opinion, he's Kirk Cousins at best. His prime will be Kirk Cousins at best. He is not a guy I ever see becoming a Justin Herbert, becoming a Joe Burrow. He doesn't have that in him at all. Now, someone like J.J. McCarthy, someone like Drake May, someone like Caleb Williams, someone like Jaden Daniels, maybe Lamar Jackson last offseason, they have that in them. Not a guy like Daniel Jones, but since you don't want to lose that serviceable quarterback, you don't want to set back the franchise years and years because you made the playoffs this year and won a playoff game with Daniel Jones at quarterback, you don't want to say, let's take the risk and get rid of him. No. You're going to give him that massive deal, and then when he does terrible on that massive deal, what do? Because back in the day, there weren't these massive deals to hand out. This wasn't a problem. Now it is a problem. Russell Wilson gets a massive deal from the Broncos. There's no way they can miss it all. No way this can mess up. It blew up in their face in the worst way possible. So what do you do now? You get rid of him, and you bite the bullet of the biggest cap hit in NFL history. But it's a bad bullet to bite, in my opinion. It's a bad situation to be put in. So here's my question to you. You have a serviceable quarterback. Wins you a playoff game. Maybe he's at a Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo level. What do you do with him? Do you trade him? Do you get rid of him? For the San Francisco 49ers, they got lucky. Very lucky in what they did. They had Jimmy Garoppolo. They thought he was serviceable enough. They said, let's not go after Tom Brady in the 2021 offseason. We just made the Super Bowl. 2020 offseason, my bad. We just made the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo quarterback. We don't need Tom Brady. Brady would have signed there, and he would have won a Super Bowl there. Instead, they kept Garoppolo. Garoppolo struggled for the next 2 years. They ended up taking Trey Lance. Trey Lance struggled, and they had this magical Brock Purdy fall into their hands. A magical Brock Purdy is not going to fall into everybody's hands. That's my opinion right there. You're not going to find that diamond in the rough seventh round quarterback here. It's a big deal in the NFL because are you going to give that serviceable guy that massive contract? Jimmy G got his massive contract. Russell Wilson got his massive contract. Daniel Jones got his massive contract. All three of those guys are never going to win a Super Bowl. Jimmy Garoppolo is Super Bowl's backup, but he's never going to win him as a starting quarterback. Couldn't tell you what Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be doing next year. I don't know if he's on a football roster. Carson Wentz, for example. Well, he's off a great year at Philadelphia. Just led you to a great season, but Nick Foles winning the Super Bowl. Now you have to give him the extension because he brought you to that great season. Do you really have to? Do you have to? No, you don't. But you don't want to take the risk of not giving him that and then maybe getting somebody worse. And then maybe this guy goes on to be great. For the Giants, I think the worry was, we let go of Daniel Jones. He does great. The guy we pick up, maybe it's Lamar Jackson. Maybe it's somebody in this year's draft. And they do terrible. Not going to happen. It's a big, big issue in the NFL. It's tough to comprehend as an NFL fan. Leave your thoughts on that in the comments. What lane would you take? I'd say I'd take the risk. If I'm the Giants, I'm taking that swing. Last offseason, I would have taken that swing. I would have said, okay, Daniel Jones won us the playoff game, and he got slaughtered in the next one. That shows me that he has no playoff winning instinct. I want the guy who's going to show out day one. You don't think Jerry Jones is thinking when he has Dak Prescott, why can't we get a guy like Jordan Love? Why can't we get this guy like Purdy? Why can't we get Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, Dak's great for us, but why can't we get someone like Jordan Love who leads his team to these games? Why do we always have to be sitting there, back of our mind, thinking maybe Dak isn't that guy? That's why Dak hasn't had the extension yet, because Jerry wants that generational quarterback talent like a Jordan Love, like a Patrick Mahomes, where you don't have to worry that position for the next 15 years. Every year, the Cowboys have to worry about it with Dak Prescott in the back of their mind. That's the lane I would take. Leave your thoughts in the comments. Now, let's go around the bases in the baseball world, everybody. Got my Mets jersey on for today's episode. Great stuff going on in baseball world. Spring training. Who doesn't love a little spring training? Let's hop into best news in MLB this week. Free agency deadline was something that was brought up this week in MLB, and maybe something improved in the next CBA, which is a little bit interesting to me right there, because then you don't have a guy like Blake Snell. Right now, maybe you don't have a guy like Jordan Montgomery right now, who's a free agent. Maybe they have to settle for that lower contract, or maybe these teams stop being so cheap, and maybe they give them that massive contract. But I think a free agency deadline is great, in my opinion. Also makes me a little bit wonder, what if we make it like college football and college basketball? We have a transfer portal window. You have until this time to enter free agency, which they have, obviously, and you have this time to finish up your free agency. And then maybe at this point again, it'll reopen. It should be from opening in December at winter meetings, which it always does, and then ending late February, right before spring training starts, and then it reopens again on opening day. That's just my take right there. But always something to think about for agency deadline. Maybe you got injuries, maybe you need to pick somebody up. But I think that's the best solution to this issue that we have right now. Making it like college sports with the transfer portal windows, make it free agency window. The best idea right there. It's my take. With the free agency deadline, the new thing that was brought up in MLB this week. What's your thoughts on that? Leave your thoughts on the new free agency deadline idea in MLB. Josh Donaldson, former 2015 AL MVP, has retired. Josh Donaldson has had a very up and down career, let's say. Went from the Oakland Athletics to the Toronto Blue Jays, where he went MVP with the Blue Jays. Went from the Blue Jays over to the Guardians, or from the Guardians over to the Braves, Braves over to the Twins, Twins over to the Yankees, Yankees over the Brewers. Josh Donaldson, really best known for his time with the Blue Jays, in my opinion. That's how I grew up on Josh Donaldson being a superstar with the Blue Jays, winning MVP with the Blue Jays, winning playoff series with the Blue Jays. Is he a Hall of Famer? I say no, even though he's won MVP. Leave your thoughts on that in the comments. Josh Donaldson retiring. Last thing right here in the round of bases, got to talk about some prospects. Jackson Holliday had that matchup against Paul Skeens. Really great stuff right there. Seeing number one pick from 2023 go up against the number one pick from 2022 with the number one pick from 2021 catching it, Henry Davis, and the number one pick from 2019 on deck, and Adley Rutschman. A little interesting stuff right there. All these guys in the MLB, except for Paul Skeens and Jackson Holliday. So, thoughts on that in the comments. Got some other great prospects coming up. Wyatt Langford. If you got a great team, let me ask this right here. You got a great team, you want to build it more, but you got some great prospects. Are you going to try to bring those prospects up, or are you going to trade them for a superstar? Leave you with that right there and around the bases. That's about for around the bases this week. Now, college basketball, March Madness, everybody. We'll have an episode next week. We'll have an episode the week after for our March Madness Bracket Special, everybody. Get ready for that. The best episode of the year, in my opinion. That in the Mock Draft Special, two of my favorite episodes to do. But I love filling out that big bracket. Had last year on Squared Sports. Gonna have again this year. But before we do that, we gotta pick the conference tournament winners. Let's go to the Power 6 conferences. ACC, Big 12, Big East, Pac-12, Big 10, and SEC. Let's go all of them right now. Picking them. Let's go. Who's gonna win the ACC? Toss up for me between Duke and North Carolina. North Carolina beat Duke in that first matchup, but Duke has grown mature since then. I'm going to say the winner of Saturday's matchup between Duke and North Carolina is going to win the ACC tournament, and I think that winner is going to be Duke. So in that third matchup, Duke's going to take the cake. Jared McCain, Tyrese Proctor, Kyle Filipowski, Sean Stewart, Caleb Foster. It's all coming together right now. Ryan Young. Duke has been playing great as of late. It's all coming together. I'm going Duke to win the ACC. I still think Duke and North Carolina might be the two best teams in the country. They're both great. Saw them both in person. Not sure that these aren't the two best teams in college basketball. Can't find a flaw in North Carolina right now, but also can't find one in Duke. That's the winner of the ACC. Now, the Big 12. A little bit interesting one right here. You give me a neutral site in the Big 12, I have the Kansas Jayhawks winning this tournament. You could say, how is Kansas winning it? They've done horrible in Big 12 play. Who hasn't done horrible in Big 12 play? It's cannibalism in the Big 12. When I say that, I mean there's so many good teams. Everybody's beating up on everybody. I'm going to say Kansas wins the Big 12 right here. Hunter Dickinson, Johnny Furphy, Daywon Harris, they figure things out. They get this right here. Kevin McCullough, they win the Big 12. Let's go. Rock Chalk, Jayhawk win the Big 12. Would have won it last year. Bill Self obviously dealt with some illness in the NCAA tournament. Didn't coach in the postseason last year for Kansas. We'll do it this year, and they'll win that Big 12. Who's going to win the Big East? I got the Creighton Blue Jays win the Big East. I was between UConn, Marquette, and Creighton. But I think what's all said and done, neutral court, I'm going to go with Creighton. Baylor Shireman led this team to the Elite Eight last year. Could have led them to the Final Four. Greg McDermott, great head coach. Ryan Kalkbrenner is back for another year. He's a great center. This is a blueprint team to win a national championship and also a conference tournament. So, not saying they're my national championship pick, but they are my conference tournament pick. Big East, Creighton, had them in the Final Four preseason. Had them winning the Big East preseason. Let's go with the Creighton Blue Jays. Win the Big East. Who's going to win the Big Ten? A little bit of surprise from me right here, but John Beilein, some Big Ten network, that the Nebraska team reminds him of 2018 Michigan. If anybody reminds me of 2018 Michigan, I'm picking them to win their conference. Nebraska, I think they're a great team also. Case Tominaga, Fred Hoiberg has done a great job with this program, bringing them back from the dead. They've never made an NCAA tournament, and they're going to get an automatic ticket this year. Big Ten winner, Nebraska, they take down Purdue in that championship game. Pac-12, who's going to win the Pac-12? Let's go with the Arizona Wildcats. Actually, a down year for the Pac-12 was just a bit upsetting. Usually, the Pac-12 is also like cannibalism, everybody being up on everybody. But not a great year for the Pac-12, really between Arizona and Washington State. Washington State has been Arizona's kryptonite this year. I think Arizona figures out the Cougars in Vegas in that Pac-12 tournament. Arizona wins the Pac-12. And the last but not least, the SEC. Kentucky is going to win the SEC. Rob Dillingham is such a smooth hooper. DJ Wagner figures things out. They play really well. Alabama, a team that's probably going to win the SEC regular season, if not them. Tennessee, I think both those teams have great offenses, but when it comes to the defense side of the ball, they struggle. Alabama more than Tennessee. But Kentucky, lock in. It's time to go. Neutral site. I got Kentucky winning the SEC. That's about for my College Basketball Madness Conference Tournament winners. Leave your thoughts in the comments. Now, at the buzzer. In this week's At the Buzzer, I need to talk about something right here. It's a little bit of like a take of the week. Conferences need to be abolished in the NBA. I've been a big believer in this for the past few years, after I used to not be. I think we deserve to get the 16 best teams into the playoffs every year, regardless of conference. Regardless of conference. I think also for the All-Star game, it kind of ruins it a little bit, these conferences. Needs to be some better solution. Because when you look at it, it's ridiculous. They don't get the best teams in there. What I love about college football is that there's a committee that's going to get the four best teams in there. I'm not asking for an NBA committee. I'm asking for fairness right here. Everybody plays everybody. So what's the point of having conferences, in my opinion, if you're going to have everybody play each other twice? If you're not going to do that, okay, you can have conferences. But if you're going to do that, let's not have conferences. Let's do this right. Because I'm looking at the play-ins right now. The play-in for the Western Conference, the 7-seed Sacramento Kings are 34-26. That would get them the 5-seed in the Eastern Conference. That's ridiculous. The Mavericks, the 8-seed, they're 34-27. Lakers, the 9-seed, at 34-29. And the Warriors, the 32-28. Let's look at the 9-10 seeds in the Eastern Conference and see how it is the 9-10 seeds in the Western Conference that I just named. Well, the Bulls are the 9-seed in the Eastern Conference. They're 29-32. The Lakers are 34-29, and they're the 9-seed in the Western Conference. The Hawks are 26-34. They're number 10, and they're going to get a playing spot for a chance to win an NBA championship. Well, the Warriors are 32-28. And they might not even get into the play-in this year. Bit ridiculous to me how this works. You're telling me that the Warriors, who have a way better record than the Hawks, don't deserve to get into the playoffs? They're on the outside looking in right now. Playing, but still, outside looking in. Well, the Hawks have the same chance as them at 26-34. Doesn't make sense to me. Hawks have the same chance, if not better, with a way worse record. Eastern Conference is so light this year compared to the Western Conference. Conferences need to be abolished. I've always thought the Western Conference was stronger than the East. But now I believe more than ever, needs to be abolished. Conferences in the NBA. Give me the 16 best teams in the NBA. Who doesn't want to see number one seed Boston Celtics going up against maybe 16 seed Los Angeles Lakers? That could be fun right there. Leave your thoughts on that in the comments. It's about for Add the Buzz this week. Now, the best for last question day. After we just watched the NFL Combine, and I told you the 40-yard dash doesn't mean anything, what is your 40-yard dash? If you were running at the NFL Combine, what would your 40-yard dash time be? If you want to know my 40-yard dash time the last time I ran it, go follow Squirt Sports on Instagram. Maybe I'll post it on there if we get up to 3,000 followers by the end of this week. But what would your 40-yard dash time be? Leave your thoughts in the comments. That's about for question day this week. That's about for Squirt Sports and Lane Frank, episode 160. Thank you for tuning in. Follow Squirt Sports on Instagram, at Squirt Sports. Follow Squirt Sports on X, at Squirt Sport. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review for the best sports content in the world. Be back here in 2 weeks, 1 week break next week, give you that March Madness special. Get ready for that. The best sports content in the world.